Thank you, my friend Bill, for leading us in our communion time, leading our worship today, our praise team. Before we get into the Word today, I do want us to take a moment and pray. This has been an incredibly difficult week for our community, for the greater Richmond area, and certainly for our community right here in Cold Harbor, here in Mechanicsville. And I want us to pray about that. I can't imagine going to a graduation ceremony and it ending like it did for our friends at Huguenot High School. I can't imagine the pain of those parents and grandparents and siblings. And I can't. And so here again, an act of senseless violence interrupts what should have been a very joyful, very celebratory time. And we need to pray about those things, and we need to pray for those families, for their comfort. We need to share Jesus with people. There's so much brokenness in our world, and folks need Jesus. And so we need to reach out to the communities around us, the young people around us, and just love them and embrace them and help them work through the junk that leads to such terrible things. So I want to pray about that today. And then also for our own church family here, this past week we lost Rick McGee, 22-year-old son of Fred and Virginia, and his death has rocked our community and rocked our church, and so we want to pray for that family today. Rick's service will be here at Fairmount over in the sanctuary on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. So if however you want to support the family, whether it's through your prayers or notes or coming and giving them a hug on Tuesday or next Sunday. Fred was worshiped with us today, and so folks had the opportunities to love on him a little bit, but I encourage you to love on them how you do best. Let's pray. God, the most important thing we can do in times of trouble, times of trial, times of pain, the most important thing we can do, Lord, is pray, because we look to you as the ultimate source of support and encouragement, for help, for comfort. Lord, I know that Jesus is the answer for this world. And the church is challenged more than ever to get out there and share the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ that so many broken people, broken boys and girls need. And so, Father, help us to have our eyes always open for those who need love, who need a listening ear, who need encouragement, who need mentoring, who need redirection. Lord, help us. Help us to see them and to do what we need to do as a community. Father, we pray for Fred and Virginia and for Callie and their whole family in a pain that is deeper than anything I can even imagine. And may your peace be on them. May the knowledge of Rick's salvation be with them. And Lord, I just turn to you as we do in times of grief and just ask you to hold each and every one of us. I ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're in this current sermon series, God Never Said That. We've been delving into some often misused ideas, or just sometimes some just downright straight up misquotes from Scripture. Things that God never said. God never said money is the root of all evil. God never said that judging is always wrong. God never said that he works in mysterious ways. God never said those things. That's the ones that we've looked at this time around in past series, just the ones that came to mind. I didn't have to look them up. God never said we don't need the church. God never said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. God never says that he helps those who help themselves. God never says follow your heart or love is love or whatever current cultural phrase that they come up with, supposedly based on Scripture to justify behavior that's against God's word. God never said that. And so the topics of these misunderstandings, the topics of these misusages of Scripture, they range from money to God's will to suffering to the church to morality, a little bit of everything. Today we want to consider our personal faith. That's a huge topic. Last week I told you God's will is a huge topic because it is. Personal faith, your faith is a huge, huge topic. One of the sentiments that I often run into throughout the course of my ministry is the concept of what would happen if someone had more faith. More faith. If I only had more faith. Now, that sentiment always comes out in such assertions as, if I only had more faith, I wouldn't be going through these problems right now. If I had more faith, my grandmother wouldn't have died. If I had more faith, my spouse wouldn't have left me. And the way that I understand my friends who say that, or something like that, is that what they're saying is the volume of their personal faith plays a role in shaping the circumstances that impact their daily lives or the lives of those around them, their loved ones. The more faith I have, the more things will go my way. And although, yes, sometimes people say that selfishly, kind of greedily. Is that even a word? With greed, Most people, when they say that, that's not usually what most people are saying it from. They're saying it humbly, legitimately, real, honorable reasons for saying that. But God never said that. God never said that. The desire for more faith is a noble desire. That's a godly desire. That's a biblical desire, to want to have more faith. Now, some aspects of our Christian walk are truly binary. They're yes or no. Either you have it or you don't have it. You're either saved or you're not saved. You either have accepted Jesus as your Savior or you have not accepted Him as your Savior. You're either walking in darkness or you're walking in light, according to Scripture. Jesus said you're either with Him or against Him. There's a yes or no aspect of some of our faith. But there are other aspects of our Christian walk that are aspects of degree. Where there, for instance, the Bible talks about generous givers and then begrudging givers. Bible talks about having great compassion or having just a little compassion. Much understanding of God's word to a little understanding. So basically there are some aspects of our Christian walk that are on a continuum. There's much and there's little and there's, this wide range in between. You want to be known, if you're a Christian, you want to be known as somebody who has a lot of love, a lot of patience. You don't want to have a lot of envy. You don't want to have a lot of bitterness or whatever. There is a quantifiable, measurable nature to our faith. Little faith, great faith. Jesus points out the limited faith of his disciples when they were unable to cast a particularly challenging demonic spirit from a young boy. When the disciples asked, Jesus goes and does it, and then the disciples come to him and say, well, why couldn't we do it? Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So little faith versus great faith. Obviously, Jesus commends great faith. He recognizes the powerful impact that greater faith will have on our lives. We fall into error, though, when we believe that faith is going to fix everything. Now, just take what I've already said. If I had more faith, I wouldn't be going through all these problems right now. If I had more faith, my grandma wouldn't have died. If I had more faith, my spouse wouldn't have died. Just think. Sometimes people say them in different ways. Sometimes I hear people say, if only I had prayed more, I wouldn't be going through all of these challenges. If only I had prayed harder, my grandma wouldn't have died. My spouse, whatever. God, you said that if I had just a faith the size of a mustard seed, that I could move a mountain. Well, Lord, I've got a mountain that needs to move. And somehow we've convinced ourselves that the quantity of faith changes everything around us, makes everything better, fixes all our problems, erases all of the badness in our lives, and it just doesn't. What the quantity of faith does change is me. It's you. Each of these God never said that topics leads ultimately to a bigger truth, an overarching truth that we really need to get at. In other words, I don't care if you say these cute little sayings that your grandma said. Who cares? My goal is, don't misquote Scripture. We don't want to do that. We don't want to misquote the words of the Bible. But all these, if you want to say some of these things, who's going to stop you? The important thing is to discover and live the greater truth that God has for us. And I think when we discover the truths, we're going to be less likely to misuse Scripture. We're going to be less likely to misuse God's word. For example, God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. It sounds biblical, sounds really good, but actually, God never said that. And the truth is actually much better. God helps those who absolutely cannot help themselves. Praise God. When you're at the end of your rope, when you're experiencing the worst of times and you can't do anything more for yourself, God is there for you. That truth is really important for us. Money is the root of all evil. Well, God never said that. Actually, money's just a thing. What he does say is that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and the love of anything that's greater than our love for God is a dangerous thing, an evil thing. So with our topic today, the truth, the greater truth is that growing our faith is a good thing, a biblical thing, a godly thing. And so it has incredible spiritual benefits. So growing our faith is the goal. If Jesus says there is greater faith, if he says it's a continuum and I can be on one end or the other, and then I'm going to start aiming for the end with greater faith. I want to grow my faith. The Bible tells us how we can grow our faith. I want to share for you this morning four quick ways to grow your faith. Number one, ask God for more faith. Ask him. Faith is this unshakable belief in God and his promises. The author of Hebrews says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So it is a good thing to ask God for more faith. How many times have I said, or I should have said, I really should have said, what the father of that demon-possessed boy said when confronted with Jesus? Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I have faith, Lord. Help me have more faith. If we want to have a greater faith, if we want our faith to grow, our faith in God to grow, ask him. The scriptures remind us over and over again to ask him for these good things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Ask him. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask him. The Bible says you do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask God. So let's ask him. Jesus says in Matthew 7, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So ask him. If you want to grow in your faith, ask. Can you imagine anything that God wants to give you more than more faith? To grow in faith, we need to focus on obedience. Our faith grows as we put our faith into action, as we're obedient to the directives of God. We demonstrate our love for him. We demonstrate our trust for him. We demonstrate our faith when we are obedient. Now, note the strong words of James. James writes words that a lot of people wish weren't in the Bible. In fact, back in earlier days when they were putting the Bible together, a lot of people voted against James for the very words I'm going to read right here, right now. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If we want to have faith, act. Do what God says. Follow the direction of the Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside of you. Pray, serve, share, give, learn, help, work, rest, love. The list goes on and on of what God has directed us to do. Those things don't save us. They ingrain our faith more deeply in us day after day after day. And an ingrained faith, a deeply rooted faith, grows stronger and stronger and stronger. So to grow in our faith, ask, focus on obedience, and embrace God's Word. Be immersed in the good soil of God's Word. That's really what this sermon series is all about. It's about biblical literacy. It's about spending time in God's Word. It's about coming to know God's Word. The more we know God's Word, the more our trust in God, the more our faith in God is going to grow. Paul says to his friends in Rome, he says, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. We listen to it. We read it. We read it out loud in our worship services. We read it on our own. We study it with others. We study it on our own. We memorize it. That's hard for me, but we memorize the Word where we can. God's Word is the lifeblood of our faith, coursing through our veins, keeping our systems rich and healthy, nourishing our lives and our spirit, helping us to thrive. Last Saturday, some of us, a handful of us from Fairmount, went up to Ashland to help with the faith build. The Habitat for Humanity of Hanover and King William is building a house in Ashland, and they're asking churches to be the contributors to that. So the church folks are going up there and helping build that. Our church was asked to come up last Saturday and do the landscaping. And so the house is looking good. It's got a ways to go, but it's looking good. And after we landscape, it's amazing. It's beautiful. And so we went up there with a bunch of bushes, a bunch of shrub, about 7,000 hostas. All right, I didn't even know what a hosta was. How many even know what a hosta is? I didn't know what I thought a hosta was something that you know when you like rob a bank you take hostas. But anyway, I don't know. I didn't know even what a hosta was. I see hostas in my sleep. I see them because we planted so many of those things up there. Anyway, so we did the same thing with every plant, whether it was a big plant or a little plant. We did the same thing. We dug a hole in the good earth. We put some healthy soil down in there, some new rich soil down in it. They had a bag of magic beans or something. I don't know what it was. I didn't even ask. I thought it might be illegal. So we put that down in the hole. We then put the plant in. Then we covered it with the good soil. And then we watered it generously. And I'm telling you, if that homeowner will water generously and tend to those plants every single day, those plants they're going to grow. They're going to thrive in the environment that we've placed them in. This is what God's Word does for us. Firmly planted in God's Word, we cannot help but grow and thrive in faith. And finally, with all those steps in mind, asking God for faith, focusing on obedience, embracing His Word. Finally, step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. I love that. We're just walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost!" they cried and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, and I always like to see Jesus, you know, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come on," he said. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. To grow our faith, we have to stretch our faith. We're obedient, we're doing what God commands us to do, and sometimes God asks us to do things that we don't think that we can do. Sometimes we're led by the Holy Spirit to aspire to action we never thought we were capable of. Here in our own church, we have folks who sell everything and go on to the mission field. I'm always so humbled by that. They got out of the boat. Some of the folks are graduating. You're being inspired. The Holy Spirit is putting this thought in you to go into ministry. The church needs more preachers. The church needs more children's ministers, youth ministers, music ministers. Go down the list. We need more people in vocational ministry. Get out of the boat. Everybody in this room, perhaps the Lord is calling you to volunteer or serve in a way that you didn't think that you could. Maybe here at Fairmount, maybe out in the community somewhere. Maybe the Holy Spirit is challenging you to give more. Maybe the Holy Spirit is challenging you to share your faith with someone that you are convinced is unreachable. Do it. Stretch your faith. Attempt the impossible. Do what you never thought you could do. Step out of the boat. Growing our faith is not only possible, it is promised for Christians who aspire to greater levels of faithfulness. Let me finish with this. Never forget, more faith does not mean that all will go well or problems will never come up. We still live in a fallen, sinful world. Disease, accidents, disasters are still going to happen. More faith does not stop those things as much as we wish it would. And in fact, I came across this week. I never thought about it really before. Who had more faith than Jesus? Anybody? I mean, did anybody on this planet have more faith than Jesus? And yet even he prayed that the Father would let the cup of suffering pass by him. But that wasn't the Father's will. And Jesus went to the cross for us. All the faith in the world does not erase pain. All the faith in the world does not prevent disappointment. But more faith does change us, strengthens us, helps us, and encourages us. And when the mountain doesn't move, we trust God. Because as we said last week, we know His ways are always wise and they're always loving. So it's my goal to convert. I like to convert these wrong ways of thinking to the right ways of thinking. I need to convert, if only I had more faith, to, if I had more faith, I would be closer to God. And that's what I want. And I bet you do too. It's what we crave. And it's what we need. We're entering into Scrooge season. We've had auditions and rehearsals will start this summer. And then this December we'll host for our community the great story of Ebenezer Scrooge. I love what Dickens writes from a biblical worldview. He writes about redemption. He writes about how hearts can change when exposed to the right things. And we know what the right things are. And Scrooge is changed by Christmas and the Christmas message and all that awesome stuff. It's a fun story. There's another story you may not be familiar with. You may have read it in high school or college, and that's the story of Oliver Twist. Remember Oliver Twist? Another Dickens story. Some of you, if you didn't read the book, you may have seen the movie. Remember Oliver? Oliver with an exclamation point? That was a musical, and a lot of high schools used to do that back in high school, back in the old days. But it's a great musical, and it's a great story. Dickens writes good stuff. Well, it's about Oliver. Oliver is an orphan. And he lives in an orphanage, and in one of the seminal moments in the book, early in the book, and one of the seminal moments in the movie when a big musical number breaks out, when they're all in the dining room eating. And Dickens writes, he says that they had thin gruel three times a day. Thin gruel. How many of you like gruel? I know some of you do personally. Anybody like gruel? Thin gruel three times a day. That was their meal. And so there's that famous moment, you probably already know what I'm talking about. There's that famous moment where Oliver gets up from the table and he walks up to the master of the dining hall and he holds his bowl up to him and he says, "Please, sir," what? "I want some more. Please, sir, I want some more." You know, and in the book, now in the movie, everybody breaks out into singing. In the book, the master of the kitchen whacks him upside the head with a ladle. And then drags him off and they punish him, you know, whatever ways, you know. I mean, that's the kind of scary moment right there. My friends, oh, with all of the pain in this world, the Lord, when you come to Him and you hold that bowl up and you say, "Please, sir, I want some more." He'll give it to you. He will give you more faith. He will give you more courage. He will give you more peace. He will give you more confidence. He will give you more forgiveness. He will give you more love. He'll give you more capacity for love. He'll give you what you ask Him. These things that we need the most. "Please, sir, I need some more." I want to encourage you today. as we come near the end of our service. And we're a little over because of all of our wonderful grads. If you need to go get your kids, go get your kids and bring them back in for our song. But I just want to encourage you today. There's something in your life you just need more of, and just ask Him. Ask Him. I need more faith. I mean, I'm convicted by that. I need more faith, and so I'm going to ask Him. And I'm going to do what it takes to grow in my faith, and I hope that you will as well. But I don't know what it is for you. But ask Him, and He'll give that to you today. If you need to make some public decision today, I'm going to be right over here. Come find me. We'll talk about what it means to give your life to Christ, what it means to be baptized into Him, what it means to go to heaven one day. I'd be happy to talk with you about that today. But let's stand. Let's sing. Let's worship together.